platforms may be competing with AI in some way, but also they are kind of the place where AI is landing a lot.
Welcome to Continuous Delivery Office Hours, where we delve into the topic of modern software delivery. I'm your host for today, Steve Fenton, and today I'm joined by
Charlotte Fleming.
And I'm Matt Offen. Hi, everyone.
The topic this week is the future of platform engineering. And we're talking about this today because Charlotte's been analyzing the data that you all submitted to our survey, and so we wanted to talk a bit about that. Let's start with the definition of platform engineering. Matt, what is it?
First of all, that in itself is a loaded question, and it's one that I like asking other people because I get all sorts of different responses. But when I sit down to think about it, I think it's actually a bit of like art and science combined with spending time in an organization to build out not only the infrastructure, but also shape the way that developers are going to be developing in your organization and the tools that they're going to be using. That's, you know, there's a lot there to talk about, but that's kind of how I think about platform engineering. And then you can go into different aspects of the platform from there. So I think with platform engineering, the idea is to build it with the best in class tools, right? And, you know, what I mean by that is there are tools out there in our industry that are very good at doing specific things. And developing software today has a lot of different aspects to it. Like, you know, when you think about right from ideation of, you know, the product team saying this is a feature that we want to put in place to getting that through to production. There's a lot of stuff that happens between those two things. And there's an immense amount of tooling that helps software developers and engineers get from A to B when you think about those two points in time. So the important thing that I'll finish with, though, with platform engineering is that it's one of these roles that is contextual to every organization, and it's going to be different for organization A to organization B, and software is going to be built differently in those organizations. They're going to use different tool sets, but I think some of the core foundations are still there of platform engineers and the team are there to try and integrate these best-in-breed tools together to just make that experience a really good one for people who are developing software.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that you've pretty much already mentioned it, Matt, but building things that are more general and then also specific to your organization, which is like all the guardrails and golden paths and templates that you use, that's also, yeah, what I think of, and particularly when I've just been doing the research.
Slightly contrary question. If we standardize across our whole industry on a single programming language, would we be able to just all use the same platform?
Yeah, I like that one. I'm inclined to say no, just because I know technologists like to do their own thing. Even if they're given the same thing, they will find a way to break it apart and do different things within their own organization with that same language. So I think there would be a lot of consistencies, but there would be people doing really bespoke stuff with it under the hood.
Developers are quite passionate about the languages that they choose, so I've probably upset a lot of people just by asking that question.
Yeah, what language were you asking about, Steve? Or no, we better not get into that.
So I've had a sneak peek at the Future of Platform Engineering report, and it's absolutely stacked with insights, and we're not going to be able to cover all of it, but I did want to zoom in on something that was really shocking for me, which is mandatory adoption for platforms, where people are forced to adopt the platform, is on the up. And that's in spite of, like, we've been turning up at conferences and user groups for a whole year saying to people, make your policies mandatory and your platforms optional. So what's causing this big drive for mandatory adoption?
So it's likely a lot of things that's causing this. One reason could be AI initiatives, and they are just, I guess, using up all the oxygen for business transformation. So platforms, I guess, have to be mandatory to get the attention that they need and the adoption, like numbers from developers. Platforms may be competing with AI in some way, but also they are kind of the place where AI is landing a lot. And so what I mean by that is that platform engineers are among the heaviest AI adopters. Our survey found that, you know, 82% of platform engineers use AI for for somewhere between 1 and 5 tasks. Yeah, anyway, from general to agentic. And so in this context, though, I guess AI is generating the demand for platform engineers. And I guess teams are able to ideally turn that AI into value. So while AI initiatives may be taking up a lot of, like, I guess, probably budget, platform engineers are kind of going hand in hand in that they're actually, you know, utilizing it well. Yeah, that's what I would say. And another reason, very easy way to enforce security and compliance, which is a very, very difficult and, I mean, consistent problem throughout. So if you do have, like, I guess platforms are a very, you know, natural home for security controls and features, security features and things like that. So, like, having, I guess, getting everyone to use the platform is a really logical way, yeah, to making sure that everyone's, you know, going through the same security processes.
If you can focus on the policies, then you will naturally build a great platform because you are focusing on the thing that actually matters, not whether you're dictating or driving mandatory adoption or optional adoption. Those things will happen one way or another. So, yes, kind of. I just want to say, regardless of that, I think that it's still a good mindset to have about what is it that we're trying to achieve through this platform and what's that, you know, driving back through the business in terms of goals. And when I think about that mandatory adoption as well, someone's paying for the platform in one way or another. We refer to them as sponsors of the platform, effectively the people who are funding it in an organization. And, you know, that can mean the tooling, it can mean the people, it can mean a number of things. But when they're investing heavily in it, there's this justification for that investment. I'm sure there are, you know, yearly budget reviews or even more often than yearly to say, what's our platform doing? Is it achieving what we needed to achieve? And I'll come back to this a little bit later as well in terms of some metrics that we might talk about. But yeah, I think that's one of the things that we're seeing is that the sponsors are going hard on this. They've got other areas that they are trying to spend money or protect money and invest in platform engineering. So they want the platform to be used. And I think that's where we're seeing this. The mandatory adoption is on the rise. I think that's where we're seeing that.
Last year, we found there was a big difference between mandatory and optional platforms, where the producers of the platforms, the platform engineers, rated mandatory platforms far higher and consumers rated them very low. And optional platforms, that was reversed. Do we see that again this year?
No. So it's actually not quite the opposite, but it's well and truly showing that mandatory platforms are more successful. And actually, producers and consumers are fairly aligned on that, which is really, it's actually great. It means that they're aligned on the fact that their platform features or anything that they're working on together is, you know, producing the same sort of success. So their goals are aligned, which is great. It's also been really interesting in the findings, which I looked up earlier this morning, which shows that optional platforms are still performing very well. So it's just that mandatory platforms are performing better. Optional platforms are performing really well. And one of the most interesting findings, and it's very different from last year, is that if you're a mandatory platform, you have high budget confidence, which is consistent from last year to this year. But last year, if you're an optional platform, your budget confidence was low. Compared to this year, budget confidence is really high. So it shows that optional platforms are still on the rise as well. It just shows kind of overall that platform engineering, you know, discipline is maturing and everyone's kind of figuring it out. The split between mandatory and optional platforms is still very close. It's almost 50-50. The fact that mandatory platforms are performing better means that, you know, all of the things that we've just told you, but optional platforms are still doing really well. And I find that great because it's all about user-centric approach and treating it like a product and things like that. So that's also, like, really much, it's really come out and is evident in the research that I'm finding, which is great.
Yeah, it's really cool to see that the consumers of mandatory platforms are getting what they need out of it, and they're rating them highly as well compared to what we've seen in some previous data. So I'm loving that. And I think that there's not one thing that sort of drives that. There's probably an array of different things that is. And a few of them that I've pondered on over the time is that, and this is something that I've talked about a lot in my discussions in platform engineering, is that producers of the platform, so platform teams and the consumers, application teams and developers, believe it or not, they're actually communicating very well. And it's something that we talk about a lot with platform engineering, is the need for this communication and the two-way street. So the platform teams aren't building something in isolation, and the teams that are using it aren't getting frustrated by the lack of features or functionality or the friction that they might have from doing it. So we've talked about a heap of different ways to do this for, you know, developer feedback and getting that from them. There's a bunch of different ways to do that, from, you know, using technical solutions to, believe it or not, just walking up and sitting next to them or giving them a call if you're a remote company. And I think that all is something that the industry has really focused on. I've seen it a lot just in general in user groups and in conference discussions about making that one of the main things that you do with platform engineering. So I think that's an element to where we're seeing the success of both optional and mandatory platforms. The other thing as well is that platform engineering is relatively new in our industry as far as technology goes. You know, if we think about technology spanning decades, then platform engineering is still a relatively new piece of that. And a lot of people will say that it's just sysadmin turned into DevOps, turned into SRE, turned into platform engineering, which I kind of disagree with. I think there's elements of all that that build into how a platform team operates, and they've kind of taken pieces of all of those different things, and those other roles still actually exist with a platform team in your organization, but that's a whole other tangent. And the point that I'm getting at here is that because it's so young, I think platform engineering has matured a lot, especially in the last 12 to 18 months, even compared to the year or two prior to that. So if we wind the clock back a couple of years, you know, platform people were still trying to get their platforms together, and maybe it wasn't doing all of the functionality or even 50% of the functionality that developers needed. Whereas now, again, with all of the conferences that we've got out, with all of the education, the knowledge sharing that's going on, user groups and coffee chats and all of this stuff that's happening around platform engineering, I think it's enabled the whole industry to sort of rise up and lift together. And kind of like you said, Charlotte, I think there's a maturity element here to platform engineering in general, which is where we're seeing success of the platform, whether that be mandatory or optional, is starting to flow through, which is really cool.
Another change may also be that there are an exorbitant amount of features and capabilities that platform teams are now responsible for, which has changed from last year and is changing all the time. I'm sure it's going to be, there's going to be more features that they're going to be responsible for next year as well. So what this means is they are almost a more holistic team, and they do solve a lot more problems overall. So if you're solving problems, it makes you more useful for two developers. Like Matt says, it's about maturity as well. But I think that it doesn't necessarily mean the broader the features. So the more features you have means that you're going to have a successful platform team. We actually tested it. Those things do not align in our data. But it means that the usefulness comes from solving the right problems. So applying and building the right features to solve the right problems for developers that need them. And it all comes back to feedback. So I've got some data and feedback, frequency and feedback type, and that will be, maybe in our next session. But yeah, it's just a maturing discipline, and the results are drastically different from last year's report. It just shows how much it's exploded over the last year. And yeah, everyone's learning from everyone else, and it's great.
In my mind, what you just said kind of ties back to the whole mentality of treating the platform as a product, right? And making sure that it's got that dedicated time spent on it to make sure that it is being treated as the product, to get the feedback from the users, qualified in or out. Is this something that we want to do or not? Is it something that aligns with what our sponsors want out of this platform? Like, it might be a great idea, but can we spend 2 or 3 weeks on it if it aligns if it doesn't align with the overall goal of what we're trying to achieve with the platform, you know, this quarter or this half or whatever you're measuring that in? I think there's a yeah, there's an element of that in it, which I think a lot of teams are learning as they go in terms of the product side of running a platform as well.
It's kind of funny that as we go along with platform engineering, we seem to be rediscovering a lot of the features of the DORA model. Lean product management seems to be the kind of thing we're alluding to here, and that's been a feature of DevOps for a while. I'm slightly concerned. We haven't spoken much about pizza yet. And Charlotte, when you were talking about this breadth versus usefulness, I was imagining a pizza buffet where they keep on putting out garlic bread and Hawaiian pizzas, right? There's food everywhere, loads of food, but it's not shifting, right? Because people are waiting for a meat feast or a pepperoni or a cheese and tomato or whatever. And I think that's kind of the problem for platform teams, is just throwing pizzas out isn't the answer. It's kind of working out what do people need? What's going to solve a real problem for them? And that's obviously pepperoni. So yeah, I think that's the zone we need to aim for. Before we close out, we always like to finish off with a thorny question of the week. And this week, the question is, what's going to happen to platforms next? Are they going to just stay as they are now? Or is AI going to completely transform them? Or are we going to move on to the next cool thing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a futurist by any means, and I hesitate here because I'm going to use the words artificial intelligence, which everyone is probably sick of hearing by now. And those that know me know that I'm a little bit resistant to AI, but that's probably mostly in like the content space. I think that I've seen our software engineers here at Octopus Deploy use AI and some of the really cool things they're doing with it, and I think that it's got its place for sure. And then when I think about that in terms of platform engineering, there's a lot of talk at the moment about the next thing being sort of agentic platforms when it comes to platform engineering. And I do think that there is elements of truth to that. I think that in the next couple of years, if you're running a platform, you will need to make sure that it can keep up with what your developers are doing in terms of what they are using AI for and what they need out of your platform, because you don't want this really rough experience when they're using whatever tooling that they're using locally to do their software development. And then when that comes time to integrating with your platform, you don't want this jarring experience of them having to, you know, drop their AI tools and go back into a portal or a command line interface that the AI wasn't aware of or can't use or whatever it might be. And because of all that, it means that as platform engineers and platform teams, you will need to think about how you can enable this within the platform. And by this, I mean like an interface for these tools that the developers are using to make it, air quotes, agentic. I kind of hate that term, but there we go. When I think more deeply about that as well, I also think that that is quite a mature platform that's going to get to the point of being able to support those things. A little bit of that is going to rely on the tools that you're using. So coming all the way back to using best-in-class tools for your platform, I think there's going to be this reliance from platform teams to make sure that the vendors that they're using for that tooling can help support some of these agentic workflows as well, because you don't want to try and be building that from scratch as a platform team. I wouldn't suspect so anyway. And I also look at an agentic platform as being quite a mature platform. So if you're still going through the process of building out the fundamentals of your platform, or you've got features and functionality that you know you want in your platform that you haven't yet incorporated, I'd probably suggest completing that and working through that before trying to get into this agentic world of supporting AI and LLMs and all of that sort of stuff. Because if you kind of unleash that on the platform before you've got that maturity, I think it could be a world of chaos, to be honest. And you'll end up hurting yourself more than helping the people that you're trying to help.
When I think of like what you've just spoken about, I think of like a build versus buy decision-making process for features and capabilities, because that's what my research kind of went into. I'm also very, I never like to predict the future. You never know where anything's going to go. But I think that the dynamic might shift between build and buy based on AI use and how much, I guess, people can do themselves, and then, you know, use a tool for the baseline or foundational features. But then if they're able to vibe code, which is not necessarily the right thing to do, but that's kind of the shift that I've seen a little bit in the research. So I guess I don't know how that's going to play out. It might be that everyone needs to revert back because of the clashes that you mentioned, Matt. But yeah, I'm interested to see how that's going to go. And then the other one I think is, and it's not a prediction necessarily, but I would love to see if platform engineering is the way in which AI value can be measured. How is that going to be measured? It's definitely not a prediction actually, but it's more of a, I'm really interested in this and we haven't nailed AI value as an industry yet. What's that going to look like if it gets more deeply embedded in platform engineering teams and release features? Because it's really nuanced, it's really complicated. So many organizations struggle to actually measure productivity because it's different for every organization. So business alignment and value metrics are something that I'm very interested in the research. And I think that we have all these frameworks that are coming out, which is really interesting and really great, but whether or not they're being applied and applied well is like going to be a different story.
I don't think this is necessarily like the future of platform engineering, but I think over the next few years, we're really going to see platform teams and the sponsors need to show the value back to the business in ways of business metrics. And so we as technologists, we love technology based metrics and, you know, is the build faster and how much have I reduced, you know, the time to deliver software and all that sort of stuff. But I think there's a real skill in being able to take some of those metrics and tie them back into business related metrics. Like what does the CFO care about? Who's spending $250,000 on platform engineering this half, or you know, whatever the numbers are, and I think that there's a real art in being able to do that, and I think that we're going to need to see that really strengthen over the next few years because, as we all know, budgets are tight anyway, and the monster that is AI is coming in, and we're seeing a lot of spend go into AI-based initiatives. So there's going to be some protection needed for other initiatives like platform engineering. So I think that that'll be a real strength of mature platform teams.
Yeah, and I think one of the interesting problems that I predict is some of the best platforms are going to be almost invisible because the developers are able to do their job and then magic happens, right? That's one of the best platforms. It's not in their way. They don't have to constantly interact with it and make it do things. It's just almost like a magic trick. And the big problem organizations are going to have is the ones with the most successful platforms are going to be the ones who are like, we don't even know what the platform does. Why are we spending all this money? So that metrics picture, that proof of value, I think that's going to be super important. Otherwise, the best platforms are going to be the ones that start losing budget. It'll be interesting to see how that develops, but boring, invisible platforms are actually the most valuable ones. Matt and Charlotte, thank you for joining me today. I'm excited to see the Future of Platform Engineering report when it lands. I hope everyone enjoyed this sneak peek. If you enjoyed this episode, you can like and subscribe. We have a video podcast on YouTube and you can find our audio podcast. Just search for Continuous Delivery Office Hours. And you can find our research, white papers and free books all over on octopus.com/publications. Happy deployments and we'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.